dipping gently from the inner corner of the eye outward. Use a fresh ball for each eye. Then wash face, outer ears, and neck. Though baby wash won't usually be necessary elsewhere on a daily basis, unless your baby tends to have all-over poop blowouts, do use it daily on hands and the diaper area. Use it every couple of days on arms, neck, legs, and tummy, as long as baby's skin doesn't seem dry, less often if it does. Apply baby wash with your hand or with a washcloth. When you've taken care of baby's front parts, turn him or her over your arm to wash the back and buttocks. Number 5. Rinse baby thoroughly with a fresh washcloth or by gently pouring water over baby's body. Number 6. Once or twice a week, wash baby's scalp using baby wash or baby shampoo, or one that's a combo. Rinse very thoroughly and towel dry gently. Number 7. Wrap baby in a towel, pat dry, and dress. Shampooing baby. This is usually a pretty painless process with a young baby, but to help head off future shampoo phobias, avoid getting even tearless cleanser or shampoo in your baby's eyes. Shampoo only once or twice a week, unless cradle cap or particularly oily scalp requires more frequent cleaning. When baby is very young and still getting sponge baths, you can do the shampooing over a sink. Once baby has graduated to a baby tub, you can do the shampoo at the end of the bath, right in the tub. Number 1. Wet baby's hair with a gentle spray of water or by pouring a little water from a cup. Add just a drop of baby shampoo or baby wash. More will make rinsing difficult. And rub in lightly to produce a lather. A foam product may be easier to control. Number 2. Hold baby's head well supported and rinse thoroughly with a gentle spray or 2 or 3 cupfuls of clean water. Be sure to keep baby's head tilted back slightly so the water runs back instead of over baby's face. Ear care. Baby ears are pretty much carefree. Not only don't they need to be cleaned, but they shouldn't be. Not with your fingers, not with a cotton swab, not even with a washcloth. When you wash your baby's face, you can wipe around the outer ears, but don't venture anywhere near the inside. Worried about wax? Don't be. It's not cute, but it's protective, among other benefits, keeping dirt and debris from traveling into the ear canal. Leave even visible wax alone, and if you're concerned that there's excessive buildup, check with a pediatrician who can safely remove it if necessary. Nose care. As with the inside of the ears, the inside of the nose is self-cleaning and needs no special care. If there's visible mucus, wipe the outside gently, but don't use cotton swabs, twisted tissues, or your fingernail to try to remove goo, gook, or crust from inside the nostrils. You may only push the stuff farther into the nose or even scratch delicate membranes. If baby has a lot of mucus due to a cold, suction it out with an infant nasal aspirator. Nail trimming. Although trimming a newborn's tiny fingernails may make most new parents uneasy, it's a job that must be done. Little hands with little control and long fingernails can do a lot of damage, usually in the form of scratches on that adorable little face. An infant's nails are often overgrown at birth, especially if baby arrived late, and so soft that cutting through them is nearly as easy as cutting through a piece of paper. The challenge is getting your baby to hold still for the procedure. Cutting a baby's nails while he or she is sleeping may work if you've got a sound sleeper or if you don't mind inadvertently waking your cutie. Use special baby scissors with rounded tips so you don't accidentally poke your baby if he or she startles while you're working. Or a baby clipper. Some have a magnifying glass or spy hole to help you get a good view. You can also try a baby size emery board or a special baby electric nail trimmer. Still squeamish? Do the job when you have a helper available. One of you can hold the baby's hand still and distract with a song while the other clips. Want to make trimming even more effortless? And who wouldn't? Aim to trim after a bath, when the nails are at the softest and therefore easiest to cut. But don't attempt while baby is still wet and slippery. When clipping, hold your baby's finger, pressing the fingertip pad down and away from the nail. Gently snip, following the natural curve of the fingernail, taking care that you don't go too low and nip the skin. When tending to tiny toes, cut nails straight across. Keep in mind that toenails grow more slowly and therefore require less maintenance. Though you'll feel awful, try not to worry if you nick your baby's skin. It happens to every well-intentioned mom or dad manicurist. Apply gentle pressure with a clean, lint-free cloth or gauze pad, and the bleeding will soon stop. Umbilical stump care. Think of it as a last souvenir of baby's uterine stay, the umbilical stump. It turns black a few days after birth and can be expected to drop off anywhere between 1 and 4 weeks later. Since healing will happen faster if you keep the area dry and exposed to air, fold diapers down so they don't brush against the scab, and use wrap-style undershirts for now instead of onesies, or use a onesie designed with a special cutout for the stump. Don't swab the stump with alcohol. That might irritate tender skin, and it isn't necessary for healing. But do stick to sponge baths until it has fallen off. If you notice signs of infection, like pus or red skin at the base of the cord, or if the stump seems painful to the touch, call the doctor. Penis care. If your son is circumcised, keep the incision clean and dab it with Vaseline or Aquaphor at each diaper change to keep it from rubbing against the diaper. After the incision heals, just continue to wash with baby wash and water at bath time. No special care is needed for an uncircumcised penis. In other words, do not retract the foreskin to clean underneath. It will fully separate from the glands after a few years, at which point it can be pushed back for cleaning. Dressing baby. With floppy arms, stubbornly curled up legs, a head that invariably seems larger than the openings provided by most baby clothes, and an active dislike for being naked, an infant can be a challenge to dress and undress. To dress and undress for success. Number 1. Select clothes with easy on, easy off features in mind. Wide neck openings or necks with snap closings are best. Snaps or a zipper at the crotch make dressing and diaper changes easier. Sleeves should be fairly loose, and a minimum of fastening, particularly up the back, should be necessary. Clothes with lots of give, made of soft, stretchable fabrics, are usually easier to put on and take off. Number 2. Use protection. To limit wardrobe changes, keep your baby in a bib during and after feeds. Too late for that? Try sponging spit-up spots lightly with a diaper wipe, rather than changing baby's outfit. Number 3. Dress baby on a flat surface, such as a changing table or bed. Number 4. Talk it up. Consider dressing time a social time, too. Offer a running commentary on what you're doing, punctuating with loud kisses, a smooch for each adorable hand and foot as it appears from the sleeve or pants leg. Number 5. Stretch neck openings with your hands before attempting to squeeze over baby's head. Ease rather than tug tops on and off, keeping the opening as wide as possible in the process, and trying to avoid snagging the ears or nose, but don't stress if you do, because you will sometimes. Turn the split second during which baby's head is covered, which might otherwise be scary or uncomfortable, into a game of peekaboo. Where is mommy? Here she is. And where is Mia? Here she is. Number 6. Instead of trying to shove floppy little arms into sleeves, try to reach in from the cuff of the sleeve, bunching up the fabric if the shirt is long-sleeved. Grab hold of your little one's hand and then gently pull, unfurling the fabric, if necessary, as you bring baby's arm through the sleeve. It'll be more fun if you have a trick up your sleeve, too. Where is Brayden's hand? Here it is! Number 7. When pulling a zipper up or down, pull the clothing away from your baby's body to avoid pinching tender skin. Lifting and carrying baby. For the past 9 months, your little one has been carried around in a snug and secure uterine cocoon, moving gently within its cozy confines. Being plucked up, wafted through the open air, and plunked down can therefore be unsettling, especially if baby's head and neck aren't well supported. So aim at lifting and carrying your baby in a way that's not only safe, but feels safe. Can't seem to lose that, but won't baby break feeling when you pick up your newborn? Don't worry. Before you know it, carrying your little bundle will become a completely natural experience. In the meantime, these tips can help make both of you feel like baby is in good hands. Picking up baby. Before you even touch your baby, let him or her know you're coming by making eye contact and saying a few reassuring words. No sneaking up on your sweetie. Then slip one hand under your baby's head and neck and the other under the bottom. And keep them there for a few moments before actually lifting so that baby can adjust first. Finally, slide the hand under baby's head down the back so that your arm acts as a back and neck support and your hand cradles the bottom. Use the other hand to support the legs and lift baby gently toward your body, caressing as you go. By bending over to bring your body closer, you'll limit the distance your baby will have to travel in midair and the uncertain feeling that comes with it. Carrying baby comfortably. A small baby can be cradled very snugly in just one arm, with your hand on baby's bottom and your forearm supporting back, neck, and head, if you feel secure that way. With a larger baby, you both may be more comfortable if you keep one hand under the legs and bottom and the other supporting back, neck, and head. Your hand encircling baby's arm, your wrist under the head. Some babies prefer the shoulder carry all the time or some of the time. It's easy to get baby up there smoothly with one hand on the bottom, the other under head and neck. Until baby's head becomes self-supporting, you will have to provide the support, but this can be done even with one hand if you tuck baby's bottom into the crook of your elbow and run your arm up the back with your hand supporting the head and neck. Even fairly young babies enjoy the front face carry, in which they can watch the world go by, and many older babies prefer it. Face your baby out, keeping one hand across his or her chest, press back against your own, and the other supporting baby's bottom. The hip carry gives you freedom to use one hand for chores while carrying an older baby resting on your hip. Hold baby snugly against your body, with one arm resting his or her bottom on your hip. Avoid this hold if you have lower back problems. Putting baby back down. Hold baby close to your body as you bend over to place your little bundle down. Again, to limit the midair travel. One hand on baby's bottom, one supporting back, neck, and head. Keep your hands in place for a few moments until baby feels the comfort and security of the surface you're placing him or her on. Then slip them out. Finish the transition with a light pat or two and a few reassuring words if baby's awake. Swaddling baby. Remember those early days in the hospital when the nursing staff regularly wrapped your baby in a neat little package with only that tiny head poking out, kind of like a baby burrito? That's because nurses know one of the secrets to a happy, calm infant, swaddling. The age-old technique has many benefits. For one thing, it can help your baby feel safe and secure during the transition to life outside the womb and cozy sleeping on his or her back. Swaddling can also prevent your baby from being woken by his or her own startle reflex and keep him or her toasty until the internal thermostat kicks into gear. So how do you swaddle like a pro? First, spread out a receiving blanket with one corner pointing up so the blanket is in the shape of a diamond. Fold down the top corner about 6 inches. Your baby's head goes here, with his or her neck on the straight part of the folded over corner, and his or her body extending straight down toward the bottom corner. Take the corner near baby's right arm and pull it over the arm and across baby's body. Lift the left arm and tuck the blanket corner under baby's back on the left side. Next, fold the bottom corner of the blanket up over baby's body and tuck it into the first fold under his or her chin. Lift the last corner, bring it over baby's left arm, and tuck it in under the back on the right side. Ta-da! Baby burrito. Not a master of the baby burrito or just don't have the patience to perfect? Opt for swaddles with Velcro tabs or a zip-up cocoon-like swaddling. If your baby seems to prefer having freedom of hand movement, wrap below the arms. An added bonus to free hands, your baby will be able to self-soothe by sucking on those sweet fingers. The only safe position for a swaddled baby is on his or her back. Never place a swaddled baby tummy down or propped on the side. It's too risky. Because being wrapped up can interfere with development as baby gets older, and because a blanket that a swaddled baby kicks off can pose a safety hazard in the crib, stop swaddling once baby becomes more active or starts to attempt to roll over by 3 or 4 months. Be sure, too, that the swaddle isn't too tight and that baby's knees, elbows, and hips are flexed naturally in the usual position for optimal joint development. Don't straighten them out before swaddling. Finally, always follow the safe-to-sleep rules. Baby doesn't like being swaddled for sleep? Try a sleep sack or a hybrid swaddle sack instead. Or forego swaddling altogether. There's no rule that says a baby needs to be swaddled. And if it doesn't work for baby or for you, don't bother.
Newborn care, feeding, and reading? Can't wait to cuddle up for story time with your little one? No need to. In fact, the AAP recommends reading to your baby daily, right from birth. You'll be bonding with your baby, nurturing brain development, and creating a ritual that's bound to become a favorite in your family. Chapter 6. The First Month.
You've brought your baby home and you're giving parenthood everything you've got. Yet, you can't help wondering, is everything you've got enough? After all, your schedule and life as you vaguely recall knowing it is upended. You're still fumbling over feedings and you can't remember the last time you've showered or slept more than 2 hours in a row. As your baby grows from a precious but largely unresponsive newborn to a full-fledged, cuddly infant, your sleepless nights and hectic days will likely be filled not only with pure joy, but also with exhaustion, not to mention new questions and concerns. Is my baby getting enough to eat? Why does he spit up so much? Are these crying spells considered colic? Will she and we ever sleep through the night? And how many times a day can I actually call the pediatrician? Not to worry. Believe it or not, by month's end, you'll have settled into a comfortable routine with baby, one that's still exhausting, but much more manageable. You'll also start to feel like a seasoned pro in the baby care game, at least compared to what you feel like today. Feeding, burping, bathing, and handling baby with relative ease.
Feeding your baby this month. Pumping breast milk.
This early in the breastfeeding game, your breasts and your baby probably haven't spent much time apart, and that's as it should be for starters. But there will almost certainly come a day or a night when you'll need to or want to be away from your baby during a feeding, whether you're working, taking a class, traveling, or just out for the night, and you'll be taking your breasts with you. How will you catch a breastfeeding break while still making sure your baby gets the best? Easy. Express yourself.
Baby basics at a glance. First month. Sleeping. A newborn baby doesn't have much of a pattern to his or her sleep schedule. Baby will be sleeping anywhere from 14 to 18 out of every 24 hours. Eating. Baby's getting only breast milk or formula at this age. Breast milk. Baby will nurse 8 to 12 times during every 24-hour period, taking in a total of anywhere from 12 to 32 ounces of breast milk, if you were counting. That's a feeding roughly every 2 to 3 hours, timed from start of one to start of next. Feed on demand rather than by the clock. Formula. Start with 1 ounce at a time, 8 to 12 times per feed, in the first week or so, for a total of 12 ounces. By the end of the first month, baby will probably take 2 to 3 ounces of formula per feed, or 16 to 32 ounces total. Since formula takes longer to digest than breast milk, you may be able to spread out meals to one every 3 to 4 hours. Even formula-fed newborns are best fed on demand and to appetite, rather than on a schedule. Playing. A newborn baby doesn't really need any toys. Your cuddles and caresses are the best toys for your little one. But since baby can see objects 8 to 12 inches away, the distance to your face as you hold that bundle, a mobile or play gym is a good option for stimulating baby when your arms aren't free. Babies love looking at bold patterns and faces, so if you're able to find a mobile that combines both, even better.
Why pump? It's not so much a law of physics as it is a law of busy motherhood. You can't always count on your baby and your breasts being at the same place at the same time. There is a way, however, to feed your baby breast milk and keep your milk supply up even if you and baby are miles apart, by pumping or expressing milk. Wondering why you'd need or want to pump? Here are some common reasons. Relieve engorgement when your milk comes in. Collect milk for feedings while you're working. Provide relief bottles for when you're away from home. Increase or maintain your milk supply. Jumpstart your milk supply if it's slow coming in. Store milk in the freezer for emergencies. Prevent engorgement and maintain milk supply when nursing is temporarily stopped because of illness, yours or baby's, or because you're taking a medication that's breastfeeding unfriendly. Provide breast milk for your sick or premature baby in the hospital. Stimulate relactation if you change your mind about formula feeding. Induce lactation if you're adopting a newborn. Choosing a pump. Sure, you can express milk by hand if you have a lot of time, don't need a lot of milk, and don't mind a lot of pain. But why bother when pumping makes it so much easier, more comfortable, and more productive to express yourself? With so many breast pumps on the market, from simple manual models that cost a few dollars to pricier electric ones that can be bought or rented, there's one or more to fill your needs and fill your baby's supplementary bottles with the best food around. Before deciding which type of pump suits your expressing style, you'll need to do a little homework. Consider your needs. Will you be pumping regularly because you're going back to work or school full-time? Will you pump only once in a while to provide a relief bottle or to relieve engorged breasts? Or will you be pumping around the clock to provide nourishment for your sick or premature baby who may be in the hospital for weeks or months? Weigh your options. If you'll be pumping several times a day for an extended period of time, such as when working full-time or to feed a preterm infant, a double electric pump will probably be your best bet. If you need to pump only occasionally, a single electric, battery, or manual pump will fill your needs and those few bottles. If you're planning to express only when you're engorged or for once in a great while bottle feeding, an inexpensive manual pump may make sense. Investigate. Not all pumps are created equal, not even among those in the same general category. Some electric pumps can be uncomfortable to use, and some hand pumps painfully slow, and sometimes just plain painful, for expressing large quantities of milk. Scout the field by checking websites and stores that carry a wide variety of pumps, considering features and affordability. Ask friends or check out online reviews and posts to see which pumps other moms are pumped up about and which don't make the grade. Or discuss the options with an LC or your baby's doctor. All pumps use a breast cup or shield, known as a flange, centered over your nipple and areola. Whether you're using an electric or manual pump, suction is created when the pumping action is begun, mimicking baby suckling, some more efficiently than others. Depending on the pump you use and how fast your letdown is, it can take anywhere from 10 to 45 minutes to pump both breasts. Not surprisingly, higher-priced pumps yield speedier results. Here are the general types of pumps on the market. Electric pump. Powerful, fast, and usually easy to use, a fully automatic electric pump closely imitates the rhythmic suckling action of a nursing baby. Many electric pumps allow for double pumping, a great feature if you're pumping often. Not only does pumping both breasts simultaneously cut pumping time in half, it stimulates an increase in prolactin, which means you'll actually produce more milk faster. Electric pumps can cost a few $100s, but if you're pumping often, it may be well worth the investment. Also, when you weigh it against the cost of formula, you'll almost certainly come out ahead. Most electric pumps come in portable models with inconspicuous carrying cases, and there are many types to choose from. Plug-in or battery-operated, either with battery packs or rechargeable batteries, plastic suction cups or soft suction cups, air suction or water suction, said to feel more like a baby than machine, non-wearable or wearable pumps that fit right into your bra for hands-free pumping. Some wearable models don't even have wires or tubes. Most electric pumps these days are Bluetooth-enabled and connect to an app that can help you track your pumping sessions and your milk output. And happily, today's newer models are quieter than the older versions. Need a pump that's really heavy duty? For instance, because you're pumping full-time for your preemie or trying to relactate? There are hospital-grade electric pumps you can buy, very expensive, or rent, more cost-effective, often from the hospital you've delivered in or from a lactation center. An LC, the La Leche League, or an online search can help you get connected to a reputable rental company. Manual pump. These hand-operated pumps are fairly simple to use, moderate in price, easy to clean, and portable. The most popular style is a trigger-operated pump that creates suction with each squeeze of the handle.
Is your pump covered? Pumped up about preventive care services available to women under the Affordable Care Act? You should be, especially because many, though not all, insurance plans are required to provide breast pumps to new moms at no extra cost and without copays or deductibles. The legislation is designed to ensure that every mom has the opportunity to provide her baby with the ultimate in prevention, breast milk. The catch? Since the law's recommendations aren't specific, coverage varies from health plan to health plan, and there's considerable variation in what sort of pumps are covered. Some plans cover the purchase of manual pumps only, while others exclude hospital-grade pumps, and still others allow moms to rent a pump but not purchase one. Most plans require moms to get the pump from designated vendors who might not have the model you want, and many plans require that you get a prescription for a pump from your doctor, another hoop to jump through. Confused? The best thing to do is to contact your health plan to find out what you'll be covered for. Let your insurer know if you're not happy with what's offered. WIC also provides breast pumps and other breastfeeding supplies and support to eligible moms.
Preparing to pump. Whenever you pump, and no matter what type of pump you're using, there are basic prep steps you'll need to take to ensure an easy and safe pumping session. Time it right. Choose a time of day when your breasts are ordinarily full. If you're pumping because you're away from your baby and missing feedings, try to pump at the same times you would normally feed, about once every 3 hours. If you're home and want to stock the freezer with breast milk for emergencies or relief bottles, pump 1 hour after baby's first morning feeding, since you're likely to have more milk earlier in the day. Late afternoon or early evening, when your milk supply is likely to be at its lowest, thanks to exhaustion and end-of-the-day stress, is often an unproductive time to pump. Or pump from one breast while nursing your baby from the other one. The natural letdown action your body produces for your suckling baby will help stimulate milk flow in the pumped breast as well. But wait until you're skilled at both nursing and expressing, since this can be a tricky maneuver for a newbie. Still got extra milk after a feed? Pump whatever baby didn't finish and save it for later. Wash up. Wash your hands and make sure that all your pumping equipment is clean. Washing the pump parts immediately after each use in hot soapy water will make the job of keeping it clean easier. Dishwashers can work well too. If you use your pump away from home, carry along a bottle brush, bottle wash, and paper towels for wash up. Set the scene. Choose a quiet, comfortable environment for pumping, where you won't be interrupted by phones or doorbells, and where you'll have some privacy. Cozy up in a chair that allows you to relax in relative comfort. At work, a private office, an unoccupied meeting room, or a designated nursing room can serve as your pumping headquarters. An office restroom is definitely not ideal, and in fact, federal law requires employers in companies with more than 50 employees to provide a private place other than the bathroom for pumping. If you're at home, wait until baby's nap time or when your little one is otherwise occupied in a swing or infant seat so you can concentrate on pumping unless you're pumping while nursing. Chill out. The more relaxed you are, the more productive a pumper you'll be. So try to chill out for a few minutes first. Visualize, use meditation or another relaxation technique, listen to music or a white noise app, or do whatever you find helps you unwind. Hydrate. Have some water before you get started pumping. Encourage letdown. Think about your baby. Look at baby's photo and or picture yourself nursing to help stimulate letdown. If you're home, giving baby a quick cuddle just before you start pumping could do the trick. Or you can pump while your baby sits beside you in an infant seat or swing. If you're using a hands-free pump, you can even try holding your baby while you pump. though many babies won't be too happy about being so near and yet so far from their source of food. Applying hot soaks to your nipples and breasts for 5 or 10 minutes, clearly not so practical at work, taking a hot shower, ditto, doing breast massage, or leaning over and shaking your breasts are other ways of enhancing letdown. A convenient alternative at home or at work, hot cold packs. Packs that you can chill in the freezer before using when you want them soothingly cold, or that you can microwave for a few seconds when you want them warm, as in when you want to encourage letdown.
Pumping shouldn't hurt. Simply put, pumping shouldn't hurt. If it does, make sure you're pumping correctly, not going over recommended pumping time limits, and that you're treating any soreness or cracking or other sources of pain, such as infection, you might be having. Check, check, check to all three, and you're still finding pumping physically painful? The problem may lie with the pump itself, in which case it might be time for a switch if that's financially feasible. But it's more likely to be a matter of a too small, or less often, too large, flange size. A very common problem that's easily fixed. If the flange is the right size, your nipple will move freely in the flange tunnel during pumping, and not much of the areola will be drawn into the tube with the nipple. Check your flange in action next time you pump, and when in doubt, try sizing up or down to see if pumping becomes less of a pain, at least physically. Pumping practice makes perfect. No matter what method of expressing you choose, you may find it difficult to extract much milk the first few times. Consider those initial pumping sessions to be practice. Your goal should be to figure out how to use the pump, not necessarily to score large quantities of milk. Milk probably won't be flowing in copious amounts during early sessions anyway, for two reasons. First, you're not producing that much milk yet if your baby is still less than a month or two old. Second, a pump, especially as wielded by a novice pumper, is much less effective in extracting milk than a baby is. But with perseverance and practice, 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 you'll become a pro pumper in no time.
How to express breast milk. Though the basic principle of expressing milk is the same no matter how you go about it, stimulation and compression of the areola draws milk from the ducts out through the nipples, there are subtle differences in techniques. Expressing milk by hand. To begin, place your hand on one breast with your thumb and forefingers opposite each other around the edge of the areola. Press your hand in towards your chest, gently pressing thumb and forefinger together while pulling forward slightly. Don't let your finger slip onto the nipple. Repeat rhythmically to get milk flowing, rotating your hand position to get all milk ducts. Repeat with the other breast, massaging in between expressions as needed. Repeat with the first breast, then do the second again. If you want to collect the milk expressed, use a clean, wide-topped cup under the breast you're working on. You can collect whatever drips from the other breast by placing a milk collection breast shell over it inside your bra. Collected milk should be poured into bottles or storage bags and refrigerated as soon as possible. Expressing milk with a manual pump. Follow the directions for the pump you're using. You might find moistening the outer edge of the flange with water or breast milk will ensure good suction, but it's not a necessary step. The flange should be centered and surround the nipple and areola, with all of the nipple and part of the areola in it. Use quick, short pulses at the start of the pumping session to closely imitate baby's sucking action. Once letdown occurs, you can switch to long, steady strokes. If you want to use a hand pump on one breast while nursing your baby on the other, prop the baby at your breast on a pillow, being sure he or she can't tumble off your lap. You can also use a manual pump to get breasts primed for electric pumping, though that means double the equipment and more work for you, so no need unless you find you have a very hard time getting started with the electric pump. expressing milk with an electric pump. Follow the directions for the pump you're using. Double pumping is ideal because it saves time and increases milk volume. If you find it helps, you can moisten the edge of the flange with water or breast milk to ensure a good seal. Start on the minimum suction and increase it as the milk begins to flow, if necessary. If your nipples are sore, keep the pump at the lower setting. You might find you get more milk from one breast than the other. That's normal because each breast functions independently of the other.
Tell tales from the other side. If you're not double pumping, the breast not being pumped will start getting into the action ahead of time and likely to leak accordingly. To avoid a mess, make sure the breast that's being ignored is well packed with breast pads, especially if you'll be going back to your desk after pumping. Or take advantage of every drop of milk by wearing a milk collection breast shell or collecting the drip in a clean cup or bottle. Where does the milk go? Many pumps come with containers that can be used as storage and feeding bottles, and others allow you to use a standard feeding bottle to collect the milk. Hoping to build up a freezer stash? Special breast milk storage bags are convenient for freezing milk and are less likely to break than disposable bottle liners, which are made of thinner plastic. Some pumps allow you to collect the expressed milk directly into the storage bags, so you can skip the extra step of transferring the milk from bottle to bag before storing, and the risk of spilling any drops of that precious fluid. If you will be transferring, be sure to wash any containers or bottles used for milk collection in hot, soapy water or a dishwasher after you're finished transferring the milk from the collection containers to the storage containers.
Storing breast milk. Keep expressed milk fresh and safe with these storage guidelines. Refrigerate expressed milk as soon as you can. If that's not possible, breast milk will stay fresh at room temperature, but away from radiators, sun, or other sources of heat for as long as 6 hours, and in an insulated cooler bag with ice packs for up to 24 hours. Store breast milk for up to 4 days, 96 hours, in the back of the refrigerator where temperatures are coolest, though ideally it's best to use the milk within 2 to 3 days. If you're planning to freeze it, first chill for 30 minutes in the refrigerator, then freeze. Breast milk will stay fresh in the freezer for anywhere from a week or two in a single-door refrigerator to about 3 months in a two-door frost-free model that keeps foods frozen solid, to 6 months in a freezer that maintains a zero-degree temperature. Freeze milk in small quantities, 3 to 4 ounces at a time, to minimize waste and allow for easier thawing. To thaw breast milk, shake the bottle or bag under lukewarm tap water, then use within 30 minutes, or thaw in the refrigerator and use within 24 hours. Do not thaw in a microwave oven, on the top of the stove, or at room temperature, and do not refreeze. When your baby has finished to feed, throw out any breast milk that's left in the bottle. Also, toss any milk that has been stored for longer than recommended times.
Quick tip. Fill breast milk storage containers or bags for the freezer only 3/4 full to allow for expansion and label with a date. Always use the oldest milk first. Exclusive pumping. Determined to feed your baby mama's milk, but circumstances, say problems with latching, have made breastfeeding a struggle or even impossible? There's still a way to give baby the best from the breast. Exclusive pumping. It's definitely tougher on moms than nursing is. Babies are usually more efficient at extracting mama's milk from the source than a pump is. But pumping all your little one's meals is doable if you're dogged about it. Here are some tips to keep in mind if you decide to exclusively pump. Get a good double pump. Since you'll be spending a lot of one-on-one time with your pump, you'll want one that's efficient and that works two by two. Doubling up when pumping with a double electric pump will cut back on the time you spend pumping and will actually pump up your milk output. pump often. Pump as often as baby would be eating, every 2 to 3 hours in the early months, to make sure your supply of breast milk becomes established. That includes pumping at least once or twice during the night. Pump long enough to make sure you're stimulating your breasts enough to continue producing milk and increasing the amount of milk they produce. Be sure to pump for around 15 to 20 minutes, that's per breast if you're not double pumping, or until the milk stops dripping at each pumping session, which could be longer than 20 minutes for some moms. Don't exceed the recommended time limit in hopes of scoring more milk. Chances are, you'll only score sore nipples. Don't drop pumps until your supply's pumped up. It could take anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks until your milk supply is well established. Once it is, you can start dropping some pumping sessions, but if you find your milk supply diminishing, increase pumping frequency until you're back where you want it to be. Record, or not. Some experts suggest moms record how much milk they're pumping per session. Others recognize that keeping a record, or spreadsheet, is time-consuming and can add to the worry. If you're struggling with a low supply, for instance, recording your output will only stress you out and possibly decrease your supply. Do what works for you. Supplement if needed. Sure, your goal is to feed your baby breast milk only. But if your supply is too low, if you're too pooped to pump enough, or if you decide for any other reason that you just can't commit to exclusive pumping anymore, don't feel guilty. Feed your little one with as much breast milk as you can and supplement with formula to fill in as needed. You can even mix breast milk and formula in the same bottle. Remember, every drop of breast milk counts. Breast milk at a glance. It's normal for breast milk to be bluish or yellowish in color. Sometimes it'll even look clear. That's probably because you've expressed only the foremilk. The hind milk will usually look thicker and creamier. So if your pumped milk looks thin and watery, it could be because you're not pumping long enough, or the bags or bottles you're pumping into aren't big enough to get the hind milk. Expressed milk will also sometimes separate into milk and cream. This too is normal. Just swirl gently to mix before feeding. Try not to shake, because that could cause a breakdown of some of the milk's valuable components. What you may be wondering about.
Breaking baby.
I know it's a cliche, but I really am afraid of breaking the baby. He seems so tiny and fragile.
Newborns are actually a whole lot sturdier than they appear to their nervous newbie parents. The truth is, and it's one that should keep you from shaking in your slippers every time you get ready to pick up your tiny little bundle, you can't break a baby. That delicate-looking, vulnerable-seeming infant is actually an incredibly resilient, elastic little being, one who's really built to take even the clumsiest care and handling a new parent can dish out. And here's another happy truth. By the time your newborn turns 3 months old, he'll have gained the weight and control over his head and limbs that will make him seem less floppy and fragile. And you'll have gained the experience that will make you feel completely confident as you carry him and care for him. The Fontenelles.
My baby's soft spot on her head seems so soft. Sometimes it seems to pulsate, which really makes me nervous.
That soft spot, actually there are two, and they're called fontanelles, is tougher than it looks. The sturdy membrane covering the fontanelles is capable of protecting a newborn from the probing of even the most curious sibling fingers, though that's definitely not something you'd want to encourage, and certainly from everyday care. These openings in the skull where the bones haven't yet grown together aren't there to make new parents nervous about handling their baby, though that's often the upshot, but rather for two very important reasons. During childbirth, they allow the fetal head to mold to fit through the birth canal, something a solidly fused skull couldn't do. Later, they allow for the tremendous brain growth during the first year. The larger of the two openings, the diamond-shaped anterior fontanelle, is located on the top of a newborn's head, and it may be as wide as 2 inches. It starts to close when an infant is 6 months old and is usually totally closed by 18 months. This fontanelle normally appears flat, though it may bulge a bit when baby cries, and if baby's hair is sparse and fair, the cerebral pulse may be visible through it, which is completely normal and absolutely nothing to worry about. An anterior fontanelle that appears significantly sunken is usually a sign of dehydration, a warning that the baby needs to be given fluids promptly. Call the baby's doctor immediately to report this sign. A fontanelle that bulges persistently, as opposed to a little bulging with crying, may indicate increased pressure inside the head and also requires immediate medical attention. The posterior fontanelle, a smaller triangular opening toward the back of the head, less than half an inch in diameter, is much less noticeable and may be difficult for you to locate, and no need to try. It's generally completely closed by the 3rd month, but may be closed at birth or shortly after. Fontanelles that close prematurely, they rarely do, can result in a misshapen head and require medical attention.
What month is it anyway? Trying to figure out what month baby's in and which one you should be reading right now? Here's how it works. The first month chapter covers your baby's progress from birth to the 1st month birthday. The 2nd month chapter gives you the lowdown on your 1 month old until he or she turns 2 months old, and so on. The first year blow by blow ends as baby blows out those first birthday candles.
Having enough breast milk.
When my milk came in, my breasts were overflowing. Now that the engorgement is gone, I'm not leaking anymore. Does that mean I'm not making enough milk?
Since the size of your breasts don't come marked with ounce calibrations, and aren't you pretty glad that they don't, it's virtually impossible to tell at a glance how your milk supply is holding up. Instead, you'll have to look to your baby. If he seems to be happy, healthy, and gaining weight well, you're producing enough milk, which the vast majority of moms do. Leaking like a faucet or spraying like a fountain are more common early on, when supply often exceeds demand. Though some moms continue to leak and spray, and that's normal too. Now that your baby has caught up to your flow, the only milk that counts is the milk that goes into him. True problems with supply happen, but they're pretty uncommon. If at any time your baby doesn't seem to be getting enough milk, more frequent nursing should help you boost your supply. If it doesn't, check with the doctor.
My baby was nursing about every 2 or 3 hours and seemed to be doing really well. Now, suddenly, she seems to want to nurse every hour. Could something have happened to my milk supply?
Unlike a well, a milk supply rarely dries up if it's used regularly. In fact, the exact reverse is true. The more your baby nurses, the more milk your breasts will produce. And right now, that's what your hungry little girl, who's probably going through a growth spurt that's spurring her appetite into overdrive, is counting on. Growth spurts most commonly happen at 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and 3 months, but can occur at any time during an infant's development. Sometimes even a baby who's been sleeping through the night begins to wake for a middle-of-the-night feeding during a growth spurt. Simply put, your baby's active appetite is likely her way of ensuring that your breasts will step up milk production to meet her growth needs. Just relax and keep your breasts handy until the growth spurt passes. Don't be tempted to give your baby formula, and definitely don't consider adding solids to appease her appetite, because a decrease in frequency of nursing would cut down your supply of milk, which is just the opposite of what the baby ordered. Such a pattern, started by baby wanting to nurse more, leading to mom doubting her milk supply, prompting her to offer a supplement, followed by a decrease in milk production, is one of the major causes of breastfeeding being ditched early on. Sometimes a baby begins to demand more daytime feedings temporarily, when she begins to sleep through the night. But this, too, shall pass with time. If, however, your baby continues to want to nurse hourly, or nearly so, for more than a week, check her weight gain. It could mean she's not getting enough to eat. Baby getting enough breast milk.
How can I be sure my breastfed son is getting enough to eat?
When it comes to bottle feeding, the proof that baby's getting enough to eat is in the bottle, the empty bottle. When it comes to breastfeeding, figuring out whether baby's well-fed takes a little more digging and diaper diving. Luckily, there are several signs you can look for to reassure yourself that your breastfed baby is getting his fair share of feed. He's having at least 5 large, seedy, mustardy bowel movements a day. Fewer than 5 poops a day in the early weeks could mean he's not getting enough to eat. Though later on, around age 6 weeks to 3 months, the rate could slow down to 1 a day or even 1 every 2 to 3 days. His diaper is wet when he's changed before each feeding. A baby who pees more than 8 to 10 times a day is getting adequate fluid. His urine is clear. A baby who's not getting enough fluids passes urine that is yellow, possibly fishy smelling, and or contains urate crystals. These look like powdered brick, give the wet diaper a pinkish-red tinge, and are normal before breast milk comes in, but not later. You hear a lot of gulping and swallowing, and no clicking as your baby nurses. If you don't, he may not be getting much to swallow. He seems happy and content after most feedings. A lot of crying and fussing or frantic finger-sucking after a full nursing could mean a baby is still hungry. Not all fussing, of course, is related to hunger. After eating, it could also be related to gas, an attempt to poop or to settle down for a nap, or a craving for attention. Or your baby could be fussy because of colic. Keep in mind, however, that no crying at all in a newborn or very little crying can be a red flag, a possible sign that baby is not thriving. Baby should cry. You experienced engorgement and your breasts feel full in the morning. Engorgement is a good sign you can produce milk. And breasts that are fuller when you get up in the morning and after 3 or 4 hours without nursing than they are after a feed indicate that they are filling with milk regularly and also that your baby is draining them. If baby is gaining well, however, lack of noticeable engorgement shouldn't concern you. You notice a sensation of letdown and/or experience milk leakage. Different women experience letdown differently, but feeling it when you start feeding indicates that milk is coming down from the storage ducts to the nipples, ready to be enjoyed by your baby. Not every woman notices letdown when it occurs, but its absence when baby's not thriving is a red flag. You don't get your period during the first 3 months postpartum. If you're breastfeeding exclusively, you're not likely to get your period, particularly in the first 3 months. If you do, it's possible you may not be producing enough milk.
I thought that breastfeeding was going pretty well, but my doctor says my baby girl isn't gaining weight quickly enough. What could be the problem?
Breastfed babies typically don't pack on the ounces as fast as their formula-fed friends, and that's not usually a concern. It's also the reason why charts that use formula-fed babies to gauge average growth have fallen out of favor. It's a good idea to make sure the one your pediatrician is using to gauge your baby's gain is based on breastfed averages. The World Health Organization, or WHO, chart is. Occasionally, however, a baby truly doesn't thrive on breast milk alone, at least not from the start, and there are several possible reasons why. Identify what's holding up your baby's weight gain, and chances are you'll be able to find a fix for the problem, so she can continue nursing and start gaining weight faster. Possible problem, you're not feeding baby often enough. Solution, increase feedings to at least 8 to 10 times in 24 hours.
and try never to go more than 3 hours during the day or 4 at night between feedings. That means waking up a sleeping baby so that she won't miss dinner, or feeding a hungry one even if your slowpoke just finished a meal an hour earlier. If your baby is happy to starve, some newborns initially are, and never demands feeding, it means taking the initiative yourself and setting a busy feeding schedule for her. Frequent nursings will not only help to fill baby's tummy and fill out her frame, they will also stimulate your milk production. Possible problem: baby's not draining at least one breast at each feeding, or you're switching breasts too early on in a feed. The result, your baby doesn't get the rich, higher-calorie hind milk that's intended to fill and fatten her up, and she doesn't gain enough weight. Solution: make sure your baby finishes one breast. 10 to 15 minutes minimum should do the trick sufficiently before you offer the second. That way, she'll be able to quench her thirst with fore milk, but still cash in on the calories in the hind milk. Let her nurse for as long or as little as she likes on the second breast, and remember to alternate the starting breast at each feeding. Possible problem: your baby is considered a sluggish or ineffective suckler, called a lazy suckler by the experts. This may be because she was preterm, is ill, or has abnormal mouth development, such as a cleft palate or tongue or lip tie. The less effective the suckling, the less milk is produced, setting baby up for failure to thrive. Solution: until she's a strong suckler, she will need help stimulating your breasts to provide adequate milk. This can be done with a breast pump, which you can use to empty the breasts after each feeding. Save any milk you collect for future use in bottles. Until milk production is up to snuff, your doctor will very likely recommend supplemental bottle feedings of formula given after breastfeeding sessions, or the use of a supplemental nursing system, or SNS. The SNS has the advantage of simultaneously stimulating your production while supplementing your baby's supply. If your baby tires easily while feeding, you may be advised to nurse for only a short time at each breast. Be sure to pump the rest later to empty the breast of the hind milk and to keep up your milk supply. Then follow with a supplement of express milk, which will contain the all-important and calorie-rich hind milk, or formula given by bottle or the supplemental nursing system, both of which require less effort by the baby. Possible problem: your baby hasn't yet learned how to coordinate her jaw muscles for suckling. Solution: a baby who hasn't quite yet mastered the art of the suckle will also need help from a breast pump to stimulate her mama's breasts to begin producing larger quantities of milk. In addition, she will need lessons in improving her suckling technique. The doctor may recommend you get hands-on help from an LC and possibly even a pediatric occupational or speech therapist. While your baby is boning up on her technique, she may need supplemental feedings. For further suggestions on improving suckling technique, contact your local La Leche League. Possible problem: your nipples are sore or you have a breast infection. Not only can the pain interfere with your desire to nurse, reducing nursing frequency and milk production, but it can actually inhibit milk letdown, especially if you're tensing up. Solution: take steps to heal sore nipples or cure mastitis. Possible problem: your nipples are flat or inverted. It's sometimes difficult for a baby to get a firm hold on such nipples. This situation sets up the negative cycle of not enough suckling, leading to not enough milk, to even less suckling and less milk. Solution: help baby get a better grip during nursing by taking the outer part of the areola between your thumb and forefinger and compressing the entire area for her to suckle on. Or use a suction device
like Latch Assist, right before a feeding, or use breast shells between feedings to help draw out the nipples. Possible problem. Some other factor is interfering with milk letdown. Letdown is a physical function that can be inhibited as well as stimulated by your state of mind. If you're stressed out about breastfeeding or in general, not only can letdown be stifled, but the volume and calorie count of your milk can be diminished. Solution: try to de-stress before and during feeds by playing soft music, dimming the lights, using relaxation techniques, or meditating. Massaging your breasts or applying warm soaks also encourages letdown, as does opening your shirt and cuddling baby skin to skin during feeds. Possible problem: babies become frustrated at the breast due to problems on her side or yours. The frustration leads to fussing, which leads to tension for you, which leads to more frustration and fussing for baby, and a cycle begins, sometimes sabotaging breastfeeding. Solution: seek the hands-on help of a lactation consultant, if possible, to get any latching, positioning, or other problems resolved so both you and baby can stay calm and on task. Try to relax yourself and your baby as much as possible before feeds, and always begin feeds before your baby starts showing hunger cues and is more likely to become frantic at the breasts. Possible problem: your baby's getting her sucking satisfaction from a pacifier. Babies are born to suck, but too much sucking on a non-nutritive pacifier can sabotage your baby's interest in breastfeeding. Solution: save the pacifier for only when baby sleeps, or put it aside for now. Instead, breastfeed baby when she seems to want to suck. Possible problem: your baby's appetite is dampened by supplementary water. Solution: giving your breastfed baby a supplementary bottle of water is a no-no before 6 months, since it not only supplies non-nutritive sucking, but can also decrease her appetite and, in excess, dangerously dilute blood sodium levels. Possible problem: you're not burping baby between breasts. A baby who swallowed air can stop eating before she's had enough because she feels uncomfortably full. Solution: bringing up the air will give her room for more milk. Be sure to burp baby between breasts or even mid-breasts if she's a slow feeder, whether she seems to need it or not, more often if she fusses a lot while nursing. Possible problem: your baby is sleeping through the night. An uninterrupted night's sleep is great for you, but not necessarily for your milk supply. If baby is going 7 or 8 hours a night without nursing, your milk may be diminishing and supplementation may eventually be needed. Solution: to make sure this doesn't happen, you'll have to wake your little sleepyhead and yourself at least once in the middle of the night. She shouldn't be going longer than 4 hours at night without a feeding during the first month. Possible problem: your stomach sleeping. Yes, you earned it after so many months of side sleeping. But when you sleep on your tummy, you also sleep on your breasts, and all that pressure on your breasts can cut down on milk production. Solution: turn over, at least partway, to take the pressure off those mammary glands. Possible problem: you've returned to work. Returning to work and going 8 to 10 hours without breastfeeding or pumping during the day will definitely decrease milk supply. Solution: one way to prevent this is to express milk at work at least once every 4 hours you're away from baby, even if you're not using the milk for feeding. Possible problem: you're doing too much too soon. Producing breast milk requires a lot of energy. If you're expending yours in too many other ways and not getting enough rest, your breast milk supply may diminish. Solution:
Try a day of almost complete bed rest, followed by 3 or 4 days of taking it easy, and see if your baby isn't more satisfied. Hey, you'll feel better too. Possible problem. There are bits of placenta left in your uterus. Your body won't accept the fact that you've actually delivered until all the products of pregnancy have left the building. And that includes the entire placenta. If fragments remain, your body may not produce adequate levels of prolactin, the hormone that stimulates milk production. Solution? If you have any abnormal bleeding or other signs of retained placental fragments, contact your practitioner at once. A dilatation and curettage, DNC, could put you and your baby on the right track to successful breastfeeding while avoiding the danger a retained placenta can pose to your own health. Possible problem, your hormones are out of whack. In some women, prolactin levels are too low to produce adequate amounts of milk. Other women have thyroid hormone levels that are off, causing a low milk output. And in still others, insulin deregulation can be the cause of a low milk supply. Solution: speak to your doctor or endocrinologist. Tests can determine the problem, and medications and other treatments can get you back up and regulated, hopefully getting